Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated, internationally syndicated motorsports show. Brought to you by the award-winning father and son car building team and the hosts of the show, Bubba and Tom.
Well, good morning, Bub. How are we doing today, my friend?
Come on, dude. Where are you at?
I don't know. I'm right here, man. How you
doing? No, not at all.
How is everything?
Man? Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here, man.
All right.
Where else would I be?
I don't know. You're over there dicking around.
I'm over here on make sure, Bub, we've got the new iPad in the facility here, man. It's looking really good. We brought some more technologies into the show. So I'm trying to catch up with you over here on Facebook. Make sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. You're in the middle of doing whatever the heck it is you're doing.
I'm not. If you want to know the truth, I'm sitting here trying to get it live on Facebook. Help me. Here you go.
Yeah.
See if you can give me a hand there. Since
you click on the one that says right here, BEM is now live.
Yeah. Well, it was live. There we go.
Oh, man.
There we go, Bob. Now we're up and live. How are we doing today, Bob?
Doing good.
All right.
Turn your volume down.
There you go, man. There's the volume thing. We actually, Bob, used the new technology. Let's see. Cancel. We actually used a new technology yesterday in the on the daily live stream, didn't we?
Yep.
Came out really nice, man. If you didn't see that episode, ladies and gentlemen, please check it out on the Bubba's Motorsports Facebook page. You'll see it there. The quality and clarity of the new iPad that we brought in to help us here, man, is super, super nice. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing? It's Saturday morning here in beautiful South Florida, man.
Doing good so far, man. I actually, I spent some time this morning doing some social media stuff and some postings. We've got, as you know, the online side of the BEM brand is exploding, man. And it's, everything from, literally down to just like the smallest things, whether it be the products and the partners we have with, some of our companies out there in the industry, Rough Country, Capristo, Steeda, all these huge names out there.
Yeah, man.
That, truly every one of them has dominated their industry in their own corner. For example, Rough Country with like the Jeeps and the truck components.
Yeah,
and
man.
Capristo with the exhaust systems and Steeda with the Mustang market. So every one of them being like the highest end that you can get your hands on for each one of those, associated products. Right. So I did some stuff this morning and I actually threw up one of what we've had a lot of sales from is the Jeep JK and the JKU all the way back to 07, the interior grab handles. Right. And that's like something that
it's the small things, man.
It's the small things, right? So for under what, $90, we've got the full set front and rear, and it's literally a probably 30-minute install with basic hand tools. They even come with the tools to install it, just basic Allen tools. But it's incredible that the smallest little thing. You don't have to go big to have the biggest improvements, right? So for under $100, essentially shipped to your door anywhere in the U.S., you can install these things in a half hour's time. And I have a really, really, really great upgrade from stock to completely aftermarket.
This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. .com. Visit us online for over 30,000 new parts. Bub was just talking about Capristo. We're going to talk about something else that may be coming around the corner to complement Capristo. Miss Outlaw Boutique. The Moose is Loose exclusively, ladies and gentlemen, on the web now. Crazy stuff going on over there, Bub. Miss Outlaw is, of course, your wife, the beautiful supermodel, Layla Von Athey. And I go over to your place, man, and there are clothes everywhere, racks of the latest stuff, just tons and tons and stacks of the greatest shoes. Everything you guys carry, or Miss Outlaw carries and Robin carries on that Miss Outlaw Boutique website, Instagram, everywhere, man. It's right there in your – it takes up the whole first floor of your house, man. People don't understand. You guys are deep into this stuff.
Yeah, there's it's crazy, man, because we do have so many online sales going on, both from the BEM side
and Miss Outlaw,
but the MOB side, right? So there's so many online sales. Inventory is flowing like crazy, dude. I kid you not. There are between mini skirts and accessories and leather belt buckles and Jeep grab handles and 4-inch lift kits and wheel packages. Stuff is all over the place right now as we're getting these things shipped out the door.
Absolutely. Miss Outlaw Boutique is on Instagram and MissOutlawBoutique.com. I want to say good morning to Stacy Oregon Bub. Stacy was here yesterday, local gal.
Yeah.
Been a fan of ours for many, many years. And not only has she been a fan, she's been a client of ours as well. You've worked exclusively on her Dodge Charger. Charger, is that right, Bob?
Yeah, Charger.
Charger. Black. There was some body damage done to it, a lower rocker panel cover on the right side. You painted that car. And we got, 10 million fans around the world. And I'll tell you what, man, she's right here in our backyard, Bub. I was actually out running some errands. Thank you for bringing my mic volume up. I was running some errands yesterday morning, as I do on Friday mornings. It's very crazy around here. You were here. You were working on – you had to paint this body side molding, install it. You found that there were a bunch of different lug nuts on the rear tire that it was all mismatched, so you matched everything up. And as I was doing the errands for the business, I saw she had posted a couple very nice things and recommendations for us here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. So, Stacy, thank you for being a client, and thank you for being kind yesterday and saying the very nice things you did out there. That's what helps a business grow, Bob.
No, for sure. It definitely does, man. And it's, like you mentioned, great friend, great client. Great setup, and
never crosses those lines either, man.
No, it's nice because that's what we shoot for, man, is whether it's the smallest things that we're doing, like I just mentioned, whether it's just small little accessories that we sell online to doing full installs or full builds or anything in between, we just try to shoot for that same level of customer satisfaction every time.
We do, and you know what, she's always taking the time to Stacy says, my pleasure, guys, you guys kill it every time. Thank you. That really does. Good things like that. Mm-mm-mm. They touch your heart, because that's what you want to do, is get out there and touch people. I'm a pretty emotional guy about stuff like that.
I know. It's so annoying. You cry every time someone says anything.
Well, I appreciate good words, man. The negative stuff, I'll sit there and fight all day long. But when people say something positive, that means they took the time out of their day. And as you and I were discussing earlier this morning, gift is the most precious time. Time is the most precious gift you got, man. And to sit down and take the time out. Everybody can take time to say something negative, but nothing positive, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that crazy, man? I want to say good morning to Chris Burke out there. I don't know if he's watching. Tell us a little bit about what happened. Speaking of Jeeps and good clients, Bob.
So yeah, man. So probably one of our super high end clients, man. And same thing. And that just shows that level that we try to have here at BEM is not just the client side, but also the friendship side. So super high end client, but outside of work is also a great friend. We do a lot of things,
firearms
off the record with them.
Yeah.
Work out together. So a great friendship, great relationship, and. And it's unfortunate that you never know that literally 1 minute last night we're talking in the gym at 5:30. I'm working out. I'm talking to him. He's leaving. We're discussing, the next set of upgrades. We've got, I don't know, probably
his
four
Jeep.
Or five grand worth of, aftermarket upgrades sitting here from Rough Country, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Rough Country and Smitty built. So we're getting ready to do a huge install on his Jeep right now. He pulls out of the parking lot of the gym and gets T-boned by a semi. So,
by the way, an illegal with no driver's license.
Yeah, man. So, it's crazy that's it's like from one to another in a matter of seconds in life, dude. People don't really get that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That time is the most precious gift you've got. Good morning to Layla. Good morning to my beautiful bride, Robin. I hope you guys are doing well. Bub, coming off the heels of yesterday's show, one other thing I want to address, we're going to change the format of the show a little bit. We're changing podcast platforms. Going to be a little sporadic for a while here. This is a big step forward for us. We'll announce more about it later. But we need to take this step. Ladies and gentlemen, please visit our YouTube channel out there, the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports YouTube channel. You'll see there's a lot that's going on out there, and it is exploding very quickly. We're going to tie that in with the new podcast platform to take an even higher step. This will be the second step we've taken this year. So we're going to be kind of hit and miss here for a little bit as we get that online, and we'll keep you posted with details. Correct, Bob?
Yeah, I kind of flatlined right there.
That's okay. You were shaking your drink, though. That's all right.
I wasn't paying attention at all right there. For some reason, I was still thinking about Chris's Jeep for a second,
man.
About like the stuff and,
sucks,
that
man.
We've got to get done on. The Jeep, it's not a bother. I'm not worried about that. We can fix anything.
Sure,
so it's not that. I just want to make sure that he
was
all good. I talked to him last night after he left the
hospital.
What
time was that? Because I texted with him when you called me and said, Dad, call Chris. He's been in an accident. I was actually at Best Buy picking up the new case for the iPad that we're using here in the studio, and I was talking to him that way, and he texted me at like 12:56 a.m. with a picture of the Jeep. So when you talked to him, how was he?
I don't know when it was that he texted me. For some reason, I haven't – on the new phone I got, the messaging app that I use is not – it's just a regular Samsung app. But
I'll show
you
how to fix that problem.
It doesn't show me times next to the text like it used to on my old app. So I don't –
problem. I'll show you.
I have to click on it, actually click on each individual text to pop open the sidebar with the time on it. So I don't know.
I'll show you how to do it.
I'm not worried about it, but you asked me what time he texted me. I don't know. I didn't click on the text.
Because he did text me a picture. The Jeep took a pretty good hit on that left front side, man.
Yeah, it's where it's good and bad. It could be something that for Jeeps, they're very solid built.
Sure.
The trouble you have is you know, when you start getting into, as you know, you start getting into folding today's materials and aluminums.
Yep.
And while you can always buy, you know, especially on something newer, you can buy brand new parts from the dealership super, super easily, where
yep.
you can just get them, you scuff them down, you paint them, you put them on, and it's back to brand new. You know, you've always got to consider things like suspension and geometry. And that's actually going to lead us into today's show a little bit too.
Yep.
Is the suspension side of things. If you look at some of the pictures actually from the accident, the coil spring on the front end of that thing, which, you know, was just a 3.5-inch lift kit. It's the spring is literally almost folded in half. So it's a pretty solid hit.
It is. Let me see, Bub, if I can help.
What do you got?
Let me see here if I can show. Here you go, Bub.
He's checking out for a minute.
If you would like to show, if you want to hold that up for people to see, I can show them what you're talking about there.
Well, it's not, that's not a great picture here.
But
do you see how far the camera is from me?
Yeah, I guess
what
so.
What do you think, I'm freaking Stretch Armstrong
over
here?
I thought you could kind of enlarge.
I'll throw your phone at the screen. That way they can see it.
Like, raise the picture. But it looks like the bumper took it, Bub. The fenders took it. The suspension took it. At least the headlights didn't get broken. Front grill area looks pretty good there, huh?
Yeah, not too bad.
It doesn't look too bad, man. We can get through that, man. It's only a piece of metal, isn't it, Bub?
I mean, that's all it is. You know, it's nice that, you know, it worked out the way it should. And, you know, it's like I told Chris last night when I talked to him. You got to think, man, that impact was direct on the driver's side front wheel.
Yep.
Had he have moved you know, a couple seconds faster, it would have been a direct impact on the doors,
side,
and it could
yeah.
have been a totally different scenario.
And his daughter was with him too.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, thank God it wasn't any worse than it
right,
was,
man.
But, you know, we'll get it fixed. And, you know, he's all good from a body standpoint. They put him in for a cat. He actually texted me before he was going in for a CAT scan last night. And I told him, don't even waste your time, bro. We already know you're gone up top.
Yeah, he did. He sent me something saying the CAT scans, the x-rays came back fine. So you've probably
yeah.
talked to him since then. So Chris, if you're out there today, I know you're hurting a little bit sore, man, but our thoughts and prayers are with you, man. You're a good dude. You're a good member of the BM family, personally and professionally. But we're going to jump right into this. A lot of questions coming in about the suspension setup and how things go. So we're going to get really technical on this. You'll actually see – actually, you won't see this episode. I didn't put the Mevo card in again, but I'll get that done. We're going to – oh, good morning to Vasil Buniak out there. Good morning, Vasil. How you doing, man? Vasil, tell me what area of the world you're coming to us from. We had our buddy from the Ukraine following us yesterday, Bob. We're going to jump into suspensions, Bob. There's so much to talk about here, man. There are on-road, there are off-road, there are track suspensions, there are beach suspensions, there are dirt suspensions, there are, you know, especially, and it doesn't, and everything changes from a four-wheel vehicle to a two-wheel vehicle. For example, like a dirt bike, the suspension travel that you have to have on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we saw Travis doing the Evel Knievel jumps, you know, they were talking about how his suspension travel went from, you know, about 12 inches to about 4 inches. Talk a little bit about what a suspension is and what is its primary function. Define it. What does it do?
So every vehicle has suspension, right? Which is based on a few components, some more than others. Typically you're working with, you know, main components of suspension springs, which are what hold the vehicle up. There's a certain rate that actually holds that vehicle up or down. If you want to go up or down, depending on your height. You have shock absorbers or strut assemblies, you know, both doing the same thing, similar strut. The difference is the spring is actually mounted to the outer perimeter of the shock absorber, essentially in the center. So, that's a 2-in-1 combo, essentially a shock with a spring is considered a strut absorber. So you are working with, you know, small pieces, springs, shocks. You are working with things like sway bars where that takes the independent suspension, which is, you know, primarily the purpose of suspension systems nowadays, which are a benefit of pro. We'll talk about independent versus solid axle here in a few minutes. But, you know, you have sway bars that tie those two independent sides back together because of that looseness or the flex that they generate because they're now independent versus old solid axle systems or much like Jeep style systems where it is a solid or pickup trucks, things like that. So you have a couple different components, you know, springs, shocks, sway bars. You have, you know, different bushing materials, you know, a couple different pieces that make up suspension. And it's all going to change everything about the ride, everything about the way the vehicle handles to its, you know, steering characteristics to its, you know, height, just the ride height alone, whether you're going up with the car, whether you're going down with the car or truck, you know, everything about it.
Okay, Bub, we want to say good morning to Dr. Wade Van Sice out there. Say good morning to the doc.
What's up, doc?
Doc is one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the world. He works with a very prominent sports team. He left his practice at Tulane University in New Orleans, joined us out here in Florida. An amazing guy, man, an amazing guy. You guys look up Dr. Wade Van Sice. I think we're going to send Chris over to him after the accident last night in his Jeep and have the doc take a look at him. Always forward, always progressive, man.
Yeah.
Dr. Wade Van Sice, man, what a great cat he is. Bub, you said something about spring rates. Tell me what a spring rate is, please.
So spring rates are, to make this as easy as possible, spring rates are a number that is it's really a tension number. So what it takes in terms of pressure or weight to compress an overall spring or to flex a spring. So for example, like let's say 400 pounds per inch. So
it's done by pounds.
Right, pounds. So that many pounds of weight or force is what it would take to flex that component an inch. And that's typically the way spring rates are done is in inches. So X amount of pounds versus this many inches is what it's going to take for that to flex. Today's cars are very, very, very tight and firm. So your spring rates are higher where the flex is less. So there were times and, you know, we can even go back not too far. We don't have to go too crazy far back. Let's go like 2000 Camaro, right? Let's throw something normal
not
out there.
Not too long ago, right?
I'm kind of picking an in between here. So let's go 2000 Camaro. This is when we were at like the kind of the height and so mid 90s or so, early 90s, we were really starting to develop in the auto industry, right? In terms of fuel injection, in terms of four-wheel disc brake systems, in terms of ABS, in terms of airbags, in terms of onboard diagnostic systems, OBD1, OBD2, right?
That, so, ladies and gentlemen, what Bub is referring to when he says OBD, he's saying onboard diagnostics, which is the port you plug a scanner or a tool into that allows you to communicate what's going on in the computer's mind. That's what Bub's referring to.
So this is all going on in the 90s, right? Which I think is pretty, it's pretty solid, man, for, you know, where we were at with rides then, you know, but you start to look at really, that's kind of like the starting point of where all of these different features came in, the anti-lock brake systems, the, you know, the OBD systems where you can, you know, find a way to communicate with the vehicle in terms of a knowledge base to see like what it has in terms of repairs or being a doctor to your client, you know, patient, whatever it may be. You know, all of these systems were being built and designed at that time, right? So in the, you know, moving forward into the mid-2000s, the reason I picked the 2000 Camaro, it's kind of like at that in-between.
On the cusp.
They've already figured out what works and what doesn't work, but they're still kind of working out some bugs. Now, today, we've really fine-tuned that stuff. So let's throw a 2000 Camaro out there. Factory spring rates, probably in like the 300 pound per inch range on the front end of these things with, you know, an LT1. Motor in them or an LS1 at that time. So if you go that suspension system, if you hit a bump in the road at 300 pounds per inch, that thing's going to take the weight of that front end with the motor and everything on it. And it's going to dip pretty low unless you have a pretty firm shock absorber on it. And that's what a lot of guys did in the mid 2000s. They went really heavy on upgrades in terms of heavy duty shocks, like Bill Steen's, things like that. Actually GM even signed contracts for all of the 2000s doing all their SS based lines. So like the Trailblazer SS, the Pontiac GTOs, the Corvettes, they were all built on Bilstein shocks because they were looking for, they were trying to fine tune spring rate or heavier duty shock, right? So softer spring rates for the ride quality, but a heavier duty shock to try to keep it from flexing as much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we fine tune that even more now because then it was, you hit one bump in the road, your car would still dip, you know, 2 inches. 2.5 inches of flex and suspension travel.
And that's a lot, Bub.
That's a lot, man. So it limited you back then on wheel and tire packages, how fat you could go with your tires, what size you could get, whether you wanted to go up or down in size with your rim or your tire overall package, all the way down to, you know, just moving into now, you can take a brand new Camaro, for example, and where the spring rates have been fine-tuned, you can literally tuck these cars at, heck, you could tuck the cars. You can put the tire inside of the fender well because even hitting the heaviest and biggest dips in the road, the car is not going to flex that 2.5 that it used to back in the 2000s. It's going to flex like 3/4, and that's it.
Now, let me ask you a question, Bub. Well, and then I'm going to move forward. OBD1 and OBD2, those were two different generations of onboard diagnostics. And just to explain to everybody, the OBD1 system, remember they used to call that the tool that you use to communicate with the car. It took two hands to use, and they called it the brick. Do you remember that?
Yeah, man.
Snap-on?
The old snap-on bricks.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
God, dang it. And
you had to have different keys and everything. There were like 30 different keys and cables and connectors, and you plug into the cigarette lighter, plug into some computer harness out in the dash, and then somewhere in the engine bay, there's another one plugged in around. Just a total nightmare.
How about that, Bob? Good morning to the snowman out there who's joined us as well. Then in 1996, the government mandated that all cars communicate in the same way, bringing forth, Bob, the second generation, or OBD2, which is what you were referring to, is OBD2, correct? So we want to say, Bob, that OBD2 kind of standardized, that government mandate standardized the industry in terms of being able to communicate back and forth with the vehicle, which is how you talk to it today. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Have they moved forward to a 3 or a 4? OBD2 is pretty much a standard today.
We're still on 2 now. OBD2 is it's a second generation of the onboard diagnostics. It is of course, it's still developing and every day and every hour moving forward, you know, technologically, but which is great, man. It's getting to a point though now where there again, man, as you keep moving forward in times, it's not just about having to go to a specialist, some guy that's got a special tool or a scanner. And trust me, it is with most cars. But, you know, there were days where even to just do something simple, just to see why your check engine light is on, you've got to go through this whole massive process to figure it out. Now you can get down to a point where it's as simple as on some cars going into a self-diagnostic mode that'll just show you right on your cluster. If you can figure out that step or process, and trust me, today's internet gives you that information. You don't need to go pay $250 to get it from some other source.
To your point.
You can YouTube it, man. There are guys out there that'll take the time that are actually still trying to do things to help the world, where you just go out and you literally just type in, you know, check engine light on Jeep JK or something like that, 2017. Whatever that case may be, you can just go through and you can move around, whether it's, you know, turning the key on, off 3 times, and then it'll literally come up on your dash and it'll show a bunch of dash lines and it'll give you a bunch of numbers, and those will be reading its own self-scan. So if you have like a P0400, something in the emission system, that code will pop up on the dash. You don't even need to go anywhere to do it. Take a couple seconds and Google how to do it, and it'll probably come up, and then you can source the product, figure it out yourself, and it's done in a matter of minutes.
Good morning, Michelle Wood. Thank you for joining us out there. We certainly appreciate your love and support. And the snowman says, what up, boys? How about the snowman, man? What's he been up to, Bob? You seen or heard from him lately?
No, but I have 37 messages on my phone right now, and there's no chance I'm checking them.
From the snowman?
No.
It's all from him.
Probably.
He's flying all over the world sending you things from his Learjet, man.
Yeah, he is.
Strut versus shock, Bob. Talk to me about a shock. What is a shock absorber and how does it work?
So starting off at the start of the show, I mentioned that, you know, those are one of the key components. So shock absorber is like your main go-to, the terminology that most people know. Typically a shock absorber is from, you know, straight style design. It is meant to move vertically and it absorbs both suspension bumps, preload, rebound, how fast it'll absorb something, you know, in terms of a shock, and how smooth it will expand itself back out to generate a, you know, new comfortable ride again after it does absorb from that bump. So, or absorb the energy from it. So you have shock absorbers and it's nothing more than a straight tube. Typically a solid design in terms of its shaft that slides down inside of just a piston filled with
fluid. Did you say shaft?
I did. And then moving forward from there, I move right past you sometimes. So shock absorber, and then you have what's considered a strut assembly or a strut absorber. So the difference between the two is one is going to be just a standalone shock by itself that's going to have sitting beside it either a coil spring or a leaf spring, depending on, you know, what the year make model is. And a strut assembly is going to be an all-inclusive one design, so essentially two-in-one setup where it is a shock absorber in the center, but it has a plate mounted to it, welded to it, or even going into today's coilovers, we'll talk about those as well, where it is the shock in the center, mounting plate about halfway up, and then you have a spring around the outer perimeter of it, and it's all a one-piece design, so you typically consider it a strut assembly.
So good morning to Alex Pavlenko, who we know is our friend out there in Ukraine watching us and spending time with us. I appreciate all of you guys from locally here to out in the Ukraine, over in the U.S., everywhere that you guys join us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your life, and thank you for bringing us into your life. Bob, coilovers, you just mentioned them. Let's talk about them. What is a coilover, and what does it do? We saw them on the show yesterday. You gave a very good definition, but can you explain what they are?
So here's what's nice about coilovers, right? So, so coilovers are, let's go with, you consider them about the exact same as a strut assembly. You are buying them as a one-time upgrade for your vehicle in terms of always wanting to change it around. So it is an endless upgrade, essentially. So if you have, let's say, a Ford Mustang, you've got a Ford Mustang, you want to lower it, but you're not quite sure about what your wheel and tire combo is going to be, what you're going to be using the car for, whether it's for the street, whether it's for the track. It is a spring system that is most of the time comes with a full shock absorber as well, but you can get standalone coilover kits nowadays that you just slide onto your own shock. So typically a coilover is a spring system with a shock or strut assembly that you can replace your factory components. And it's an all-in-one system that has an internal threaded ring on it that allows you to put it on the vehicle as one piece assembly. And you can literally use a billet adjusting ring to adjust where you want that vehicle to sit. So you can, it's an infinite adjustability on your ride height.
As you move these ride heights up or down, Bob, how does that affect the quality of the ride?
It doesn't. That's what's nice about doing coilovers. So your coilovers, you're not changing your spring or your spring rate. So the spring that's going to come with that coilover is going to be designed for your vehicle, for your engine class that's in there. So the weight is going to be set exactly where it should be in terms of pound per inch. We talked about a few minutes ago. What's nice is because you're not changing that spring rate, all you're doing is changing where the spring is essentially sitting in relation to its lower mounting plate on the strut. So you can move it up or move it down depending on what you want your vehicle ride height to sit at. And it's not going to change the way that vehicle responds. It's just going to change the overall looks.
It was often, Bob, that in the GM cars, the Fords, again, at a time not too long ago, as you pointed out, that people would take air shocks. First of all, what is an air shock?
Holy crap. You guys got to be getting confused. Air shocks. So air shocks typically installed on the rear. If you're talking aftermarket upgrades, they're not airbags or air ride suspension.
Yes.
Those are different. Air shocks are, you would take off, for example, a lot of guys did these on trucks. They did them on SUVs, maybe for towing, for hauling. And again, even air shocks have gone away. And now we have advanced even further with things like helper bags that are automatically filled or lowered. Air shocks were a nice entry-level upgrade to – we got to turn those notifications off. Sorry, guys.
That's on my side.
Yeah, it's
on the computer. It's the BEM driver, Mark Hoffman.
So the air shock was an upgrade to your rear shock absorbers that you could do in case you were using maybe heavier loads. Maybe you were using an SUV that you threw a bunch of stuff in the back of, work guys, contractors, tools – to where you would naturally get sag. What you would get is a set of shock absorbers that were direct replacement, but they were a sealed unit that had airbags on the top of them, and you could literally have air lines, just small eighth-inch MPT lines that ran to the rear to a valve, and you could literally fill them up just like a tire, anywhere from 40 to 140 pounds of air to offset that increase in weight you have in the rear so that you didn't have a sag. You had something that was safe. It could handle the load or the weight that you were putting around on the back end.
Good morning to Ray. Now, I want to make sure I'm saying this. I'm pronouncing your name properly, Ray. Good morning to Ray Montalvo, live from Cleveland, Ohio. What's up, guys? Hey, good morning,
Ray.
Thank you for joining us, man, and thank you for being a member here of the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family. And welcome to the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast with your host, Bubba, one of the top three in the world today, and myself. And we're talking a little bit about suspensions today, Ray, quite a bit about it. We showed them live, yesterday on our live show, and we had so many people ask about it. So we're just kind of following up. Bub's kind of, Ray, bringing us up to speed with the definition of, and Ray gives us a thumbs up, man. Having Bub give us a definition of some of the suspension components. The BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, is having some trouble calling in today. We're going to see if we can't get him in here. So, Bub, a lot of times I know back even, and I'm not trying to put this in a generational perspective, but when I was growing up, 60s, 70s, you know, they used the air shocks to give the car a stance, you know. especially as suspension components would wear, because they didn't have the longevity.
All right, so
today's.
So here's what we're going to do. So you're going way back. You're going like 50s, 60s, 70s, right? And this was like true hot rodder fashion back then, because
correct.
You guys were gangster, dude. Yeah,
thank you, man.
I'm telling you, some
that's
of the mods
had,
you guys came up with.
It's pretty cool, wasn't it?
So here's what we're going to do. Let's just throw this out there. So I'm not going to use the right name for it, but if you guys can throw out on the Facebook wall, the first person to throw it out, we'll send out a free BEM logo, full decal to you guys. For the name of what was used back then, what was the brand name, the number
oh,
one
I know.
Brand name
I can't
that you guys used? Don't say it.
Okay.
In terms of the aftermarket shocks that you guys were throwing on these rides, I'm talking everything from Camaros to Novas to Thunderbirds to you guys were jacking those things up so high in the rear. I don't know what you're doing.
Throw it up there, ladies and gentlemen. You get a free BEM logo. The Mark, please keep communicating with me. I'll give you a report today. The race report, as brought in by the BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, says, please tell all my fans that I'm very sorry, but we did come. He's sorry because his tablet's not working. He can't call into us. So I'm going to try to read this out, Mark. You keep feeding me the news live. We'll give it out to everybody. They came in fifth, but Bub, I don't understand what Mark's saying. We did come in fifth, but now car is tore up bad. Oh, one of the cars must have gotten wrecked last night. Damn it, I wasn't there to wreck it.
I know. That's unfortunate.
So, Bub, Keith, so now the which car got tore up, Mark, and tell us more about it. I also need to know what's going on around the league with NASCAR to report to everybody around the world as well, please. Bub, air rides?
Okay, so air ride, man. Let's talk about that for a second. So, you know, we talked about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about some of the hottest mods in the marketplace right now. We talked about wide bodies being one of them, everything from molded to bolt-ons with companies like Liberty Walk and Extreme Dimensions. You know, everybody's really getting into the wide body scene right now, and that's huge, especially on the West Coast, but it's slowly working its way to the East Coast. And the West Coast car scene is totally, totally different compared to the East Coast.
It's way different.
Scene.
When we're on tour, yeah. You see the cars that are different, man.
Yeah, and it's crazy too, because, you know, like the one we did for SEMA last year is that's more of a West Coast design car. That's, you know, SEMA's out there on the West Coast, and that's you gotta build to go in and show in the same marketplace. So you know, we built that car for a wide, you know, I mean, rim VP sitters, 15, 16s wide, which are insane.
Supercar Saturday last week, Bub. Do you see the bull drilling over those wheels just alone?
Well, and that's what I'm getting at, you know, is when you bring a car like that from a scene, it fits right into a scene where it is, but you bring a car that intense and wild to a scene that is more on the clean side, it's, you know, it pops, it stands out real hard. And it's, that's starting to take over in like the South Florida area where we are. If you guys don't know what car I'm referring to, go out to our website at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com and you'll see it right there, right on the homepage. It's the very first one that pops up, and that's actually being used right now in all of American Racing's promotional marketing.
Sure. It's on their website right now.
Yeah. It's,
and their website, their promotional stuff.
Yeah. It's blowing up insane. And it's, you know, those were on a VF 300 rim. Those were custom built and designed for us right here at BEM. So it's something where, you know, we talked about how, you know, wide bodies, big rims, down on the ground, get these cars tight, even all the way to the trucks, man. Trucks are now, you can get these any lift. It's called any lift suspension, where you can have suspension that you can literally take a truck that's on 40s and go up 14 inches, hit a button, or bring it all the way down 14 inches.
What?
So it's crazy, dude, where we're going with today's suspensions. And again, that's air ride. But air ride is probably one of those mods in the custom car world that's really, really taking off right now. It's becoming much more advanced. If you're not cheap, you can still cheap the crap out of air ride and have a lot of problems with it. But there are big companies out there, Air Ride, for example, being one of the best at that, or Ride Tech Technologies. There are some serious companies out there that are doing incredible direct fit air ride systems that you buy them, and these are pre-built assemblies. You stick the full unit in your trunk. It's plumbed. It's electrically hooked up. You have one switch controller that's plug and play. You mount your shock absorbers that are based on air, and you run your four lines, and it is done. And it's becoming such a thing because it has now become so direct fit and functional and reliable that people can do it on daily driver cars.
Good morning to our good friend, Mr. Joe Kramer, up there in Fairfax, Virginia, actually Vienna, Fairfax County. And Ray Montalvo says, Bub, Bilstein, we were just talking about Bilstein. Let's address that for Ray. And everybody's doing the right thing. Send your ideas in. Just tell us
what
you're talking
about. I think Ray's referring
to
the 70s.
Yeah, well, Is Bilstein as popular today, Bob, as Bilstein used to be? Now, I know when you were a younger designer and builder and fabricator, you were doing a lot with the Bilstein line. I honestly don't see that much going with the Bilstein line now.
No, you
Let's
really don't.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's you really don't, man. There's a lot of companies that are falling down because they've flatlined. And
is that a failure to evolve or keep up or?
No, you know, bigger and better are coming out and they're just, you know, some companies are moving that bar up every day, sometimes by the hour, sometimes by the minute. And some companies have had the same product for 10 years. So there are where some point of that can be great. What's newer is probably better, you know, and especially in today's world in the auto industry, you know, technology, the today's materials, the way things function, the way things respond, the way things operate, it's all becoming so much stronger and so much better that you want the best, you want the newest, you want the best. And, you know, there are companies out there that, like you mentioned, so Bilstein, for example, that's a company that I told you was super, super strong, like coming in from the 90s, like mid 90 range, man. They really hit it off big with General Motors. That had to be a huge contract because they were putting it on all of their rides, man.
Yeah, man.
They were putting it on, you know, the SS style Camaros to the
GTOs, you said.
The GTOs, the Pontiac GTO. That car was a limited run. That was 04 to 06, and that car's
gone. 06, yeah.
The same thing as the Trailblazer SSs, the Silverado SSs, any of the performance line, GM was putting those on. And, you know, that's one of those brands that, to me, I was super strong in General Motors. You know, that was in the mid 2000s. We were doing a lot of mods on, you know, SS Camaros. We were doing a lot of mods on Firebirds, you know, which you were considering the F body cars. You know, there were a lot of mods that we were doing at BEM on those style rides, even down to just lowering the. God, do you remember the what were those? The SSR, is that what that was? The
SSR, yeah, that's right. That was kind of a strange looking thing, but it got a lot of attention because it had that retro front end on.
Right. You know, and that's another one of those rides that was, again, I think 04 to 06, man. There was a huge swing right there for GM in the 2000s. But the handling, to me, the handling and ride quality was incredible, man. It was super, super tight. You know, the handling was great. The traction was great. And all of his rides are built on Bilstein, but now moving forward to today, you don't see it too much anymore.
So, Bob, why the trend away from that? And Ray, share with us a little bit about what your love for Bilstein product line is, and if you're running it on your current setup, I'd like to know more about that. So Bob and I can talk about that. As you can see, we interact with everybody from around the world that listens, and we want to address that a little bit. What you're hearing in the background, ladies and gentlemen, is the BEM Dirt Track driver and race reporter, Mr. Mark Hoffman, sending me in his updates. Once he gets them all in, I'll read them to you at one time. I know his fans are kind of disappointed he's not on today, Bob, but we'll get it written to him. In fact, two rainouts in the past month and top five in the other 2 weeks in sticky stock class. NASCAR is off this week, along with NHRA, which is the National Hot Rod Association. There'll be no drag racing. The BEM Bubba's Exotic Motorsports number 12 will be racing Sunday, September 2nd. There are two more races for number 12 than the major overall time. So we're starting to get the report in live. But may I ask you a question, please? One of the things that you talked about was a solid axle. That solid axle is going to lead down into my next question for you from a suspension perspective. What is a solid axle?
So solid axle is drivetrain-wise, suspension-wise. It's going to be whether it be front or rear, depending on your application. Of course, you're making model changes, everything. Solid axle is going to be your primary component of getting your power to the ground. So in your drivetrain, that's going to be from left to right sides. That's whether it's rear wheel drive on a car, whether it is on a pickup truck, whether it is all wheel drive, whether it is four wheel drive. It is that solid, ginormous, thick tube that everybody sees on the bottom of the vehicles. A lot of the time on the rear of all of, you know, a lot of rides.
So Bob, what are they still using solid axles?
Yeah. So
have they moved away from using solid axles? I know Ford trucks used to have solid axles.
So solid axles are, yeah, man. So solid axles, like I mentioned, definitely still in the rear of a lot of components or a lot of vehicles. Moving away from that, most part in the front ends of pickup trucks. You know, you're starting to see like a lot of the Ford-based vehicles, the F1s, you know, the F1s. Any of the 150 series trucks, all of those are kind of moving away from that solid axle and going into more of an independent front suspension. Some similar to the Silverados, the 1500s, you know, you're starting to see these thick, solid, heavy tube axles They're doing away with those and going more into a center differential style setup with, you know, CV axles. So they are, you know, center housed differential assemblies that connect to you if you have a four-wheel drive unit, and then you have flexible joint axles that come off the left and right sides that go down to your wheels. That allows you to run an independent style suspension, which allows you for more suspension flex, for more comfort, for more steering and handling characteristics. Much better, again, moving forward with technology.
When we hear you use a term, Bub, like CV, can you tell everybody what a CV is, please?
Yeah, it's a, well, I'm going to use the right words, constant velocity.
Constant velocity.
I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to.
So when you say constant velocity, Bub, what do you mean? It's constantly spinning, that particular, that joint, that CV joint is constantly spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the 80s, remember, a lot of the front drivers, the Hondas, the Toyotas, the things like that, Bub, they used that CV technology, and man, they'd wear those things out in 50, 60,000 miles.
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty hefty wear and tear, man. It's
constantly spinning.
They're just balls riding against balls. Honestly, that's what
right.
They are.
That's
and,
exactly what it is.
Eventually, if those things become ungreased or the boots on them become dry rotten, then the grease flies out of them. That happened a lot. There are very easy indications of that. You could actually look behind your wheels and you could see a bunch of grease kind of flung around everywhere. Probably a common sign of a joint boot being cracked or ripped open, dry rotted, and that happens. It could happen at 30,000 miles. It could happen at 150. It just depends on, that wear and tear of that vehicle.
And, Bub, hey, good morning to Jack out there. Jack is our good friend up there in Canada. He's reporting. Now, remember, Bub, he went to the V-Twin Drags a couple weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying his buddy and the BEM driver, I hope he's listening to this, Mark Hoffman up there in Maryland, he's saying, good morning, guys. My buddy is V-Twin. Races in Napier, went to Napierville, and he was doing 166 miles an hour, 8:15 seconds in an ejected V-twin, Bub.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's moving along pretty good on two wheels, man. And to shoot that line straight, it's pretty good. Congratulations, Jack, to you and your buddy up there pushing that 170 mile an hour mark, just over, just a tip over 8.15 seconds in the quarter mile, man. That's pretty good, Bub.
That's pretty fast.
That's pretty slamming,
yeah.
Bub. And speaking of which, now that we've identified what a solid axle is, Bub and Jack will appreciate this. What is it? We hear this a lot in the motorcycle industry, rigid frame or rigid mounted.
So definitely, listen, if you're looking for something that has zero suspension, none of the show we've talked about even fits in the rigid class. That is nothing more than a chassis mounted to a wheel.
So, but
like that is it.
You pretty much said everything has to have some form of suspension. And typically on the rigid, we find that suspension form is out front, correct?
Yeah, that's about it. That's all you got, man.
So, in other words, a rigid is just the frame with no shocks at all, right?
Yeah, it's just a single design that, you can get some incredible looks out of it because you don't have to worry about clearances or flex. But something's got to flex, right? So what flexes in a rigid style system on a motorcycle is the human body against the bike.
Oh.
That's where the flex happens. And on smooth roads, rigids aren't bad. Down here in South Florida, you hit railroad tracks. I couldn't imagine hitting one of the railroad tracks here on a rigid chopper. You'd get ripped apart.
Are we okay, Bub? Do you think, by the way, Jack's saying that's a 300 horsepower V-twin, Bub.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, Bub. Are we okay to talk about the OCC bike? Because that's kind of rigid. I want to talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, you can talk about it.
Okay. So it's no secret that the Tuttles, Paul Sr. and Joni and Mikey and all of them. Did you see the video of Mikey walking into the cafe? Did you see that one?
No.
So Mikey walks over to these two guys in the cafe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's all disheveled. And Mikey is to Orange County Choppers what you are to BEM. It's just the attitude's there, the fun's there, right? So if you haven't been to Orange County Choppers headquarters in Newburgh, New York, okay, it's situated right there off the highway, right? And when you walk in the front door, you're greeted by the retail section. There are two levels to this place. Well, actually three levels. The lower level, there's the retail level where you walk in, and on the left-hand side, there's shirts and things like that, and the bikes are housed. It's a 100,000-square-foot facility. We've been up, worked out in the workout room and everything. Nice setup upstairs in the administrative offices. And then on the right-hand side is the restaurant, okay, is the restaurant, right? Where we like to sit down with Senior and everything and just have a nice burger and everything. So Mikey walks over to these two guys yesterday, and he's scratching his head, and he looks all disheveled. Now, you know that nobody in the Tuttles drinks. Nobody. They're a very clean family, right?
Yeah.
So he walks over, and he scratches his head. He looks like he comes off a three-day drunk, and he just walks up to these two guys, and he goes, and they just their jaws hit the floor, right? Because they say, oh, my God, it's Mikey Tuttle. And he walks up, and he scratches his head. He goes, excuse me, sir, can I borrow $5? And he's really, really serious, man, really serious, right? And this guy reaches in his pocket, and Mike takes it all the way. Mikey takes it all the way, and it's like, thank you, sir. I'm just hungry. I haven't eaten, and blah, blah, blah. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was really cute. It's kind of the stuff you do, too. So
yeah, it's kind of funny.
Jack says it's all S&S, so we're going to get on that bike. Ray says, I have a 68 Camaro RS with rear shock, multi-leaf, Bilstein. The code that, bub. Let the average guy out there know what Ray's running up there in Ohio in that Camaro, and what could you do? In other words, on yesterday's show, Ray, go to the Bubba's Motorsports Facebook page right here where you are, and look at the 67 Bubs doing the pro touring suspension he laid out there yesterday. Define for everybody what the 68 Camaro RS is, Bub, with rear shock multi-leaf Bilsteins.
Yeah, so, okay, so for example, you know, starting there, first-gen Camaro, 67 to 69, great setup, man. Those cars were originally, you know, we discussed yesterday when we were talking about it doing our live stream, we discussed that, you know, those cars sat incredibly high from the factory. It didn't matter what model line you had, whether it was, you know, an RS, whether it was an SS, whether it was a Z28, it did not matter. Those cars just sat freaking high. So a lot of guys, especially in today's world, are going for that more pro touring style stance, at least in our marketplace they are, where they're setting the cars down and they're getting them tighter to the ground, maybe a 17-18 wheel combo, even bigger, sometimes 18-20 if they're going mini tub or tubbing in the rear. You know, so the expansion is incredible there. But, you know, what he's referring to is so – there were times back then where some vehicle options would come with either a monoleaf style suspension, which mono being one, what? There was only one leaf spring on the left and the right side, or there's a multi-leaf pack. So 5, 7, 9, 13, depending on your options, again, depending on your power plant and what that car was ordered with.
Interesting.
You know, and that's all about the spring rates and how that car is going to plant that power and hold that ride height. And create a handling characteristic for that suspension package, the vehicle weight package, whether it's a two-door hardtop, whether it's convertible, all of that stuff is going to change those variables. And one of the great upgrades about, and we do it a lot with our, you know, first-gen, second-gen Camaros, is if you are staying, if you're not going like a full pro touring package with fully adjustable coilovers, you know, front and rear with independent rear suspension, independent front suspension, great upgrades to those cars are like what Ray already has. So like a multi-leaf suspension or a multi-leaf leaf spring setup and then going to a Bilstein heavy duty shock. That's a great combo, man. We've literally built rides up to 550, 600 horse riding on leaf spring style suspensions with Bilstein shocks and, you know, matched sway bars. And the things handle exactly like a champ. Hotchkiss, for example, huge name in the industry when it comes to bolt-on products for the first gen Camaros and second gens. That's how they're selling theirs. They sell their packages, leaf spring, sway bar, Bilstein shocks.
So, Bob, would it be a hint that Ray may be running a little bit more than the stock or the OEM, original equipment of the manufacturer, horsepower, in that he's saying he has a multi-leaf rear suspension setup?
Yeah, you know, that's a he could have a pretty good setup in there. And it's I guarantee you with the way he has his set now, it's probably a pretty nice ride setup, you know, ride stance, ride height. All the way down to ride quality. It's, you know, when you work that kind of combo, it's a very firm setup, but it's not harsh and it's not stiff. It's not to where you can't enjoy the car, but it's a very, when you compare stock to setup that he has, it's a night and day difference, but you feel the difference in the fact that it's like the car does what you want it to do. It feels responsive and you can almost predict what the car is going to do when you see a bump coming or maybe a swerve in the road. You know exactly how it's going to handle and go through it.
So, Ray, if you have a picture of the car posted up here, let's let everybody see that if you can. So let's go back to the OCC chopper. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's familiar, and I'll do something very special behind the scenes for you guys. Hold on. I got to get to the camera. As I said, we are very good friends with the Tuttles. They are amazing people. You've heard Senior and Joni, his wife, Joni McKay. She's been featured on our show many, many times. Maybe we'll have them come in next week, Bob. And it's just a really, really good family, man. You cannot say enough good things about those people.
Yeah.
They're super, super good guys. And when there's something that can't be done at OCC headquarters, I am extremely proud to say that my son, you, are who they turn to, Bub.
Mm-hmm.
They get the products to you and have you do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We all saw the new season, and I'm proud of that because they know that the build style and quality is there. When you get your hands on it, it's going to be finished correctly, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anything they've done is wrong, right?
Yeah.
Jack says I'm waiting for an episode, and to see one of you guys, there's something's coming. Trust me. I'm going to share something with you in just a second, Jack. Something very special. So, Jack, by the way, did you see the OCC and everybody out there? I want to see it real quick before I get up to the camera. Did you guys see this episode with the OCC Geico bike? Just type yes and let me see if you guys saw that. So I'm just very proud of the fact that Bub, you know, Joni will call me and say, hey, I got to get this in Bub's hands. I got to get this done now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no time. We were sitting here, what was it, last Thursday, and one of the Geico crew came in and said, guys, the bike has to be at a photo shoot at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jack, sit tight. Jack, who's a big biker like we are, said he did see the episode, okay? So if you guys aren't familiar, go out and Google OCC Geico bike, okay? So the Geico bike was sent here for you, Bub.
Yeah.
To complete.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things that need to be done. That was their first supercharged bike. We don't talk about it. We keep it in the family. But you said it's okay to kind of share this side of the story. So last Thursday morning about 10 o'clock, Todd walked in from the Geico team, which is headquartered very closely here, and said it's got to be ready for a shoot at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't ready, Bub.
Well, we just had to get it ready. Yeah.
So we stopped. This was a supercharged bike. A lot of things that had to be fixed, right? So it was so funny because our parking lot quickly turned into our production team, their production team, Geico's production team, our security, their security, people hanging out on the lot. And it was just a fun experience, right? And every time you got one thing fixed, something else had to be adjusted or tweaked or done or fixed or tweaked or done or fixed or tweaked or done. The bike left out of here, rolled down to a place called the Square Grouper. Now, what's the Square Grouper, Bub?
So, formerly Alan Jackson's place, right?
Yes, Alan Jackson. That's correct.
So,
if you look up go to YouTube and Google the song "Buggin' My Margarita" or whatever it is,
something like that,
you'll see that was filmed right there. It's a place where all the celebrities bring their boats from the island, Jupiter Island. Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett, Celine Dion, they all bring their boats over and park right there. So go ahead, Bob.
So, winds up over there. Of course, this bike is not registered. There's no plate on it. This is nothing more than a true show bike. I mean, this thing is meant to literally be parked next to Miss Geico at major events, not be shredding tires all over.
But now you have the bike running and shredding tires.
So, winds up like 2:30 in the morning. Of course, everything's closing down. Well,
bars don't close in South Florida.
Nameless person cannot ride anymore physically. This is because of, being impaired.
Yes.
So not because of the bike.
No.
So now
we get this picture, Bob.
We get a picture like 3 o'clock in the morning of something about Geico bike killed it at the grouper, right?
Yeah.
But it's on the back of a tow
booty
truck.
Booty call with Miss Geico at 3 a.m.
So we're like, there's no chance that there's anything wrong with this bike. It's the fact that this thing has no lights on it whatsoever.
Right.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning and this guy can't even stand up. So home it goes.
So I call Gary Goodell, who, as you know, is the owner of the Geico team with the Geico boat. And I asked him, I said, Gary, and I said, where are you, man? And he goes, Tom, I just got up in Maryland. I said, I only have one question for you, dude. And he goes, what's that? I go, did the Geico bike make it home okay? And he goes, yeah. Why? He didn't know the other side of the story. And now I'm thinking, I better not say anything because I don't know if anybody knows.
Well, if somebody's
right?
going to say something, it's you.
So I just had to backpedal it and keep it very cool. Now, let me see if I can turn this picture around here, Bub, and I will get up and share it with everybody. All right. So this was, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. There's a fan in there taking pictures. I'm going to share with everybody the actual Geico bike. Jack, this is for you. And then I'm going to share something else. And you get to see, a lot of people don't see, you see Bub typically sitting down. You don't understand how big and strong this young man is. And Jack, your son's the same way. And there's a fan running up and taking pictures. So let me get up here, Bub, and I'm going to show this.
Just hold it up. I'll zoom it in. Okay.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now hold on, Bob.
All right. We're holding.
Now hold on 1 second, Jack. Everybody here, this is going to be for you. This was from, hold on, let me go over here, Bob. I don't know if you've even seen this yet, Buster.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it all.
But we're going to show it. Hold on 1 second here. Are you able to? All right. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. And as proof that Bub actually physically had it running and writing. Are you ready, Bub? Here we go.
I'm just waiting over here. Do you have any volume on your thing, or what do you got?
I can turn it up for you.
You have no volume. No volume at all, whatsoever.
Now, if you want volume, I'll give you some volume. I know you turned it down a lot.
Jesus. This guy. Watch, he's still probably turning on the wrong volume.
Yep, I'm sure he is. Let's see here.
Oh, boy. This is a mess right now.
It's a mess, Liz.
Jesus. Do you guys hear this nonsense? Whoops.
Now, you want me, let me go back and I'll let people physically hear it first, Bub. Hold on 1 second.
That's way too loud. So much of an absolute monster. This thing's consistent at like a 1275 idle.
All right. So here you go, Black Jack. I'll let you see that.
Okay. That's enough of you dicking around over there. Put that thing away. Turn your volume off, too. Now it's going to go crazy all the rest of the show.
So there you go, Jack, and everybody out there. There's the Miss Geico bike up and running the way she's supposed to be running, Bubba style. We love it, don't we, Bub?
Yeah.
A lot of fun, man. We've got some we've got some really, really good people we're associated with, man. It's really, really good.
All right, stuff. So back to our topic of the show, which is suspension systems, right? Here we go. No, I'm just going to throw it out there. You're all over the place.
Go ahead, man.
So suspension systems, here is key. Know what you are building, know what you are trying to build, and where you're trying to go with your project. Whether you're building something that you are working on modern performance and you are changing your springs to do increase in handling, maybe you're changing your springs to do an increase or a personal preference on stance and ride height. A lot of today's cars come out pretty solid from the factory. You only need to drop them about an inch or so to get them in that right range to where you've got a great tire to fender well gap. Know what you're building for and take the time and do your research on it. All of that stuff, especially from a modern performance standpoint, is available directly through Bubba's Exotic Motorsports website. Everything from, Mustangs to, even going to the trucks, to the F-Series pickups, to the Silverados, to the Jeeps. On-road, off-road, street, strip, there are packages out there for everything.
And, Bub, the thing is, too, if people are trying to build something, if sales at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com, that comes to my phone, comes to your phone. If I'm busy after hours, I'll answer it the next day. But I will answer back to you, man, just as we answer everybody here who joins us on the show, man.
Yep.
We will take the time to respond. And if you're trying to design a suspension, especially, Bub, Jeep suspensions are very different than, say, some of the off-road truck suspensions. Very, very different setups, man.
Yeah.
You've got suspensions you can unlock for the Jeep so that they flex a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there something like that you can do?
Well, they're sway bar disconnects, so you can allow for that full flex. Sway bar is going to, like I mentioned, if you're working like an independent style suspension setup where you have flex on one side or another, that flex and travel literally gets limited based off of not necessarily the shock absorber, but the amount of rate at which the sway bar will twist. And you can actually buy sway bar quick disconnects that are just like a quick D pin. You just grab it and pull on it and it comes out. It won't fall out on the highway for a lot of you highway drivers that just want to be able to pull off the road and pull out those pins and go to town.
So, right.
You can literally, you can pull these pins and you can allow for full flex. So you can go from 6 inches to 14 inches in a matter of seconds.
And Bub, the beautiful thing is you can build these setups if you know what you're doing properly,
right,
to ride very smoothly. Mm-hmm. One of the things for you is everything has to operate like it would have operated had a performance division had built it and designed it at GM, Ford,
right,
Chrysler, Bagnani, Mercedes-Benz, it doesn't matter. You want ride quality, you want consistency, and you want something very smooth and easy to operate.
Yeah.
That runs extremely well. That's your primary goal in everything you do.
So, well, it has to be, man. It's you know, there's too many people out there that just, they take a bunch of different parts. They put no research to any of them. They buy them because they're great deals. They buy them because they're on eBay or Takeoff on Craigslist or Amazon's or, you know, things like that. And when you start getting into things like that, you create yourself a monster and something that at the end of the day will never give you 100%. It might give you 90, but it'll never give you that 100. And yeah, if you want something that's fully functional, that sets your expectation, you know, and gives it to you every time, but also, you know, is reliable. At the end of the day, it's going to be something that you want that's not going to clunk or, you know, have rattles or creaks or, you know, you want to make sure that you're not having an alignment problem that's pulling down the road or your tires are wearing out every 10,000 miles versus 50 and 60 that today's Nitto tires are getting, for example, literally coming with warranties up to 65,000 miles. As long as you can provide proof of tire pressures being accurate, things like general maintenance, your rotations, yeah, and your alignments are done, they will literally cover tires up to 65,000 miles. There were a time where cars wouldn't make it that long, and now today's tires are making it that long, and they're warranting it. So, you know, it's all about building the right package, and you'll have something that is that much longer of a last. You know, so for example, one set of tires to go 60,000 miles might be a set of $2,000 tires, but dang, take $2,000 in tires and separate that over 60,000 miles. That's pretty freaking cheap.
It's pretty cheap.
Price per mile, you know?
It's pretty cheap, man.
Crazy.
Isn't it crazy? But we are up against the top of the hour. Another great episode, man. Another just wonderful, wonderful episode. And I want to thank everybody from around the world. Everybody from right here in our local backyard, Bub, to Canada, to California, to Ohio, you know, Ray, our new family member out there. I mean, just Fairfax, Virginia, everybody, Bub, the Ukraine. I mean, I can't say thanks enough, man.
Yep.
Those people are out there. We love doing this for you guys, man. We really, really do. And it gives us great pleasure to be part of your lives and for you to allow us to be part of your lives. It's a very special, special piece of what we do. And we don't take that lightly. We take it very seriously. It is Saturday, Bob. Any special plans for you and the beautiful Miss Layla Von Athey?
No, we're going to go figure it out right after this.
Are you really?
Yep.
I know you guys spend a lot of time down at the beach trying to get tranquil. That's a good place to go, huh?
Yeah.
Any snorkeling in the future today?
No.
Tomorrow?
None.
No?
Nope.
Because last time, Bub, I went out there, I was snorkeling around Blowing Rocks Preserve, and I saw you on the back of a blue whale.
I was riding that sucker.
I saw you.
Like
you
a cowboy.
Like a lasso? Yeah, you were standing up. It was kind of disturbing because the only thing you had on was chaps.
And I was holding on to his dorsal fin.
Fin in it. Ray says, I'm trying to send some pics for some reason. Can't send. Where can I send them? I'd love to see those pics, Ray. Please share that stuff with us, man. Bub and I love interacting with you guys. We know every one of you personally out there. We take the time to want to understand and know. Sales, S-A-L-E-S, at sales at Bubba's, B-U-B-B-A-S. Or as the representative I was trying to talk to over in Thailand said yesterday, Vuvuz, V-U-V-V-A-S, no.
This guy is so ADD, he can't even finish saying our email address.
Bubba's, B-U-B-B-A-S.
Holy crap.
ExoticMotorsports.com. Ray says, good job, guys, man. I want to see those pictures. Get them into us. Let Bubba and I see them. We'll be talking about them on the next show, either Monday or Friday, and then again on the Saturday.
Yeah, Friday. So our new show schedule is going to be Fridays only for our live stream. That's going to be live from the shop, where you guys will see current projects going on. And if there are any projects you guys have an interest in, 95% chance we have it going on here at the facility,
we'll
all under one roof.
Yeah.
So whether it's suspensions or exhaust systems or camshaft kits or motor builds or transmission builds or paint jobs or upholstery, it is going on here at BEM. So just send us in your tips or questions, and we may have it here on the spot to show you exactly how to do it.
Exactly. And we want to hear your ideas because we love your show topic ideas. That's where 90% of our ideas are derived from. Bub, thanks again for coming in on your Saturday morning. We appreciate it. I certainly have enjoyed it. You know, we're the best father and son team out there, I think, from the car building perspective. I enjoy it. I love it. I've spent 16 great years with you doing this, and it's been one hell of a ride, man. And I do it for another 16 with you right by your side.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay.
You get old and tired after a while, don't you?
Yeah.
Entertainment side is the fun part because you get to deal with some great people out there, man. Really do, man. All right, Bub, we're going to jump out of this thing. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Bubbazigzagmotorsports.com. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to stop out there. Check out the YouTube channel with all great stuff that I'm personally loading up out there for you. I'm doing the best I can with it, trying to get you the best keywords and stuff. I'm not a tech-savvy guy, 58 years old. It's kind of out of my league, but I'm trying to really learn it and grasp it, Bub. I really am, and you're a great help for me on the side of that thing. You're out designing cars and trying to help me, too. That's why you throw stuff down the administrative hallways at me, isn't it, Bub?
Yep.
So Bubba'sExoticMotorsports.com, ladies and gentlemen, 30,000 parts for your vehicle online right there. We may be taking on another exhaust line to complement Capristo. That would be FI or something like that, but we're going to talk to them more about it. Ray's clapping and giving his hands up. Thank you, Ray. Miss Outlaw Boutique, the moose is loose on the web, ladies and gentlemen. Robin and Layla killing it out there. Bub's whole first floor of his house is nothing more than Miss Outlaw Boutique inventory, ready to ship right on out to you guys. Ray says bravo. Thank you, Ray. We really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a really positive manner today, man. Doesn't matter how bad it is for you. Think positive. Be positive. Stay strong mentally. Open the doors for somebody who's got their hands full. It could be an elderly gal who's just trying to get there, man, 84 years old. Not a lot of time left, man. Her hands are tired. Open that door for her. Could be a mom with a kid. Could be a father with a bunch of groceries in his hand. Doesn't matter. Open the door for somebody. Somebody's got holes in the bottom of their shoes, ladies and gentlemen. Put a pair of shoes on them. Just pull over, man. Open your trunk and give them a pair of your sweaty old sneakers. You guys know they're out there. I've got high heels in my trunk. I'm not going to tell you why, Bub. So you thought Bruce Jenner was something?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some guys that work in here, I think, that work at that class. Raph might be his name.
Nah, dude, that's our little Kevin Hart.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Right on, man.
All right, come on. We're 7 minutes over.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's make sure we reach out and touch somebody's life in a very positive manner. If somebody's standing on the corner, man, please take them across the street to 7-Eleven, Sitco, something like that. Protein drink and a power bar, man, that's cheaper than your designer cup of coffee. Make sure you reach out and touch somebody's life in a positive manner. Until Monday, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep on doing it.
Bubba style.